You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into the Scoop Podcast, part of the Inside Carolina Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ross Martin, joined by Don Callahan. And this podcast is brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. All right, welcome into the Scoop, the number one UNC football recruiting podcast in the world, brought to you by GiantT-Shirt.com and part of the Inside Carolina Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ross Martin, joined as always by Don Callahan. What's going on, Don?
Not too much. It's been a long time since we've done a Scoop. What have you been up to? I guess it's been probably about a month.
Longer than that. I was just going to say that because I think our last one was right before National Signing Day.
Right? Yeah, we did the preview for National Signing Day and then we did the live stream.
The live show, yeah. And so I guess we took a little break, you know, kind of reset with the class of 22 in the bank and now moving on to the class of 2023. So yeah, it has been a while and we got hit up to do another podcast. Reached out to Don. He was excited as always. So here we are. Make sure.
Well, what have you been up to?
I mean, we had Christmas, we had New Year's, watching a little basketball.
What'd you do for New Year's?
I watched football. I watched college football.
Yeah,
I had a buddy come over for a little bit, and we watched football, and then I went to bed at 11:30.
Really?
Yeah, I got no time for New Year's.
Okay.
Yeah, doing dry January. You know, it's cold, dude. It's been cold recently, man. Got some snow here. It's been cold in the mornings, of course, doing the morning workouts, morning runs, no big deal. It's been like 25, 30 degrees in the mornings. And just watching, you know, basketball. UNC basketball is kind of a roller coaster ride, good games and bad games. And then we had some football news too. We had some coaching changes and all that good stuff. We're gonna get into it all. Rate, review, and subscribe to the Inside Carolina Podcast Network. And if you want to watch us on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube page. Okay, Don, how are you feeling? You know, break down the show here. You ready? Oh, how are you? What's going on with you?
I'm good.
Quickly.
I'm good. Just, normal stuff, you know, dad stuff, dealing with the same stuff you're dealing with all the changes, catching my breath with some of that stuff at the junior day, which we'll get into. Yeah, man, that's basically it. Side question. Have you ever considered, because I know some of the other guys do the live stream for their, like this live on like YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We've never talked about that. Have you considered?
Yeah. I've never considered it. No, but we could do it. I mean, we've done a live show, but yeah. I'm not sure the tech on that. We could maybe do it. I don't know if there's enough interest. All right. Okay. Good question though. All right.
Yeah, so if there's interest, make sure you let us know. And on the message board.
Yeah.
For this post.
And also, we record during the day and often in the mornings. And, you know, people work and stuff, but if we could figure out the tech, we could figure it out. All right, so let's get through the show here. It's going to be, I think, you know, UNC football is kind of at a crossroads. And I think that not only applies to the team, but also recruiting. And so we're going to get into that. You know, I mean, the big news is the parting of ways between Jay Bateman and Jovan DeWitt with UNC, replaced by new defensive coordinator Gene Chizik. And co-defensive coordinator and defensive backs coach Charlton Warren. So we're going to discuss that. Additionally, Billy High, who was UNC's general manager, he was in charge of recruiting, in charge of roster management, in charge of the transfer portal, and honestly, Mac Brown's right-hand man left last week, a couple days ago actually, for Tennessee, his alma mater and where he's from in Knoxville. So that's a big change for UNC recruiting and UNC's kind of football team. So that's another kind of big situation that we're all kind of working through and dealing with. We're going to discuss UNC's junior day of last weekend and get into 2023 recruiting. You know, I don't know a lot of the recruits. Of course, Don knows most of them. So we're going to kind of get some names out and look forward to the other junior days that are on the horizon. And then we're going to get to any and all transfer news they keep you abreast of what's going on there. In addition to kind of some conversation of players who have transferred out of North Carolina, who've landed at some other schools, I think it's kind of an interesting conversation to look at. And then we'll wrap the show. No top five this week. The top five for next week is the next time we record, which will probably be in 2 weeks, will be the top five wish list for the 2023 class. So who are you as UNC fans, UNC football recruiting fans, who are you looking forward to getting in the 2023 class? Who do you think, you know, realistic targets, your top targets, the 2023 class? Don, thoughts?
I'm excited.
Okay. I feel like I'm talking a lot. Anything else?
No, I'm just, I'm just happy to get rolling with all this stuff.
All right.
Trying to get some, coffee in my veins.
Yeah, that's right here. Cheers.
Cheers. Can we do this?
If you're looking on YouTube, we both have the Inside Carolina podcast mugs, one of my favorite mugs. All right. Awesome, guys. So let's get into it. So Gene Chizik and Charlton Warren. Actually, let's rewind. Losing Jay Bateman and Javon DeWitt. Don, what did you think when that news broke? We were kind of, we kind of knew there were rumblings. When they parted ways, and it was a legitimate parting of ways between Bateman and Mack Brown and UNC, what were your initial thoughts?
So the reasoning wasn't for recruiting purposes, and that's kind of my niche, obviously. So from that standpoint, I thought, you know, UNC was losing in Bateman, a really good recruiter, one of the better one of the better coordinator recruiters that you'll find in the entire nation. You know, because here's the thing. Most coordinators don't do a whole lot of recruiting, and that's important to mention. And Bateman recruited like he was a position coach, which was pretty big. Now, the decision obviously was for football purposes. I'm actually curious, and I know this is a recruiting show. I want to get your take, though, because I felt like just watching games, obviously the defense wasn't very good at times, mm-hmm. but the offense wasn't very good at times. Mm-hmm. And the special teams wasn't very good at times. And then if you break it down even further into the different elements, the offensive line, the secondary, and all that sort of stuff, I'm just surprised that was the one decision. What was like from your standpoint, because this was a football decision, this wasn't a recruiting decision. So what were your thoughts?
Yeah. First, let's go back a bit on his recruiting. Cause he has landed a lot of the bigger players on UNC's defense. I'm just going to list them here and then we'll get into that question. Cause that is an important question. So he was the primary recruiter on Keyshawn Silver. Did he have was that his guy, a massive role in that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let me know if anything you think he's not kind of didn't have a big role with. Desmond Evans, he was a secondary recruiter on that.
Mm-hmm.
Who was primary in Desmond?
That was your guy. Oh God, how free is freaking Tim Brewster?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Tim Brewster was he lived in dude. Stanford, North Carolina during that time.
Tim Brewster had an all-time tweet recently.
Did he?
We love Tim Brewster on here. I do. All right, here's Tim Brewster tweet. I don't have to .. I get to .. I'm so blessed to be a ball coach! !! I'm just so jacked for what's next! !! And I believe Tim Brewster, he's no longer on the Florida staff, was where he left UNC mm-hmm. for. So he spent 2 years.
Where Florida. Is he? He'll find someplace, but.
Yeah, I don't think he's waiting for what's next. Gotcha. So that was an all-time tweet. Tim Brewster's Twitter is electric. All right, moving on. Desmond Evans, Andre Green, a Richmond guy. He was a secondary recruiter on that. Ra-Ra Dilworth, of course, that's an offensive guy. Ra-Ra Dilworth, he was the primary recruiter on Ra-Ra. He was a primary recruiter on Ja'Cory's Conley. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I know he had a good relationship with Ja'Cory's Conley. Shout out Mr. Conley, who is active on the message boards. Primary recruiter on Kedrick Bingley-Jones, a high-ranked kid out of Charlotte. Primary recruiter on Malachi Hamrick. These are all in order of their ranking, I believe. Secondary mm-hmm. recruiter on Cameron Roseman Sinclair. Secondary recruiter on Gabe Stevens. Secondary recruiter on Dontavious Nash. These are some guys who haven't seen the field yet. Primary recruiter on Marcus Allen, who's a 2022 guy. Primary recruiter on Eugene Asante, Virginia guy. Bryce
I don't know if that one, but we'll roll with it.
Yeah. Bryson Jennings, secondary, goes on and on. Don Chapman, Tamir Brown, Caleb Hood, DJ Jones. So, you know, some big names. That's about it. AJ Beatty, who's transferred already. So, yeah. So just to say that he was an active recruiter. So you're losing that when you lose defensive coordinator Jay Bateman. Your question about him as a defensive coach, it's tough, man. I mean, look, yeah, the defense was not good. And that ultimately falls on the defensive coordinator, right? I mean, someone has to take the blame. I think there was a lot of behind the scenes, a lot of issues with the defensive coaching staff and the communication between Bateman and some of the position coaches. I think that's been kind of evident on the boards. And I don't know if, you know, I think there were some issues with kind of Max guys and Bateman and the lack of not going out and getting different defensive assistants. I don't want to say too much, but I don't know if you got that vibe as well.
Yeah, I definitely got the vibe that maybe this wasn't just strictly because they definitely used the term mutually parting ways. And I think that's kind of that's accurate right there, because I think there was.
Go ahead.
I think there was some disconnect with certain things, which comes when, you know, a lot of these guys that were underneath Bateman were, with the exception of DeWitt, who left with him, were kind of Bateman didn't pick those guys. They were kind of given to Bateman. And so that's difficult when you're trying to run a certain system. Everybody has different mentality. And then on top of that, I can imagine that it might be difficult to be in a situation where you're supposed to be over top of guys like Dre Bly and Tommy Thigpen. And I'm not saying, you know, whatever, I probably going down a rabbit hole, I shouldn't, but those guys obviously have very strong connections with Mac Brown. And maybe there's some sort of feeling of, you know, the hierarchy not being set properly.
I think we've said a lot, said enough that there was just disconnect between Bateman and the defensive coaches, which could have led to some of the defensive issues and the lack of kind of teamwork and working together on that side of the ball. And I think this was going on for multiple years. I heard rumblings of kind of some issues with the defensive coaching staff heading into this season.
Yeah. And the thing too is, I'm sure it probably was going on for multiple years. I'm not saying it. So if it was, obviously it doesn't peek its head out when you're winning and things are going well. When you have a crappy season, that's when all the ugly stuff starts to kind of be like, you know, come to, I guess, the surface a little bit.
Yeah. And it sucks. I mean, I like Jay Bateman as a person, and I liked covering him. And, you know, I hoped the defensive system would work. I thought it was an exciting brand of defense. I just don't know if it ever got to the point where it was, I mean, obviously clearly this season, especially, just wasn't effective, but we saw flashes against NC State, against Pittsburgh, you know, for multiple quarters in both those games. They played great defense. You were seeing it beginning to work. It, I guess, kind of ran out of time. Obviously did not work against South Carolina. There are some big issues against Georgia Tech, Florida State, South Carolina, where the defense did not show up and had issues with a mobile quarterback and with the run game. But they were getting his players in. You would think that the defensive talent is going to kind of be at its best next year when Miles Murphy is a junior, Desmond Evans is a junior, Ja'Cory's Conley, Tony Grimes are juniors, again, Kedrick Bingley-Jones, KJ Hester, Cedric Gray. I mean, some of the top players are one more year experience. You do lose a good amount of experience with Trey Morris and Tamon Fox, especially Jeremiah Gimmel, Ravo Hasek. So, use a lot on defense, but some of your best players are going to be juniors and seniors.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I guess my concern is like, all right, great, you did this. The offense wasn't good either. Special teams, you could say maybe with a new coordinator, because Juwan DeWitt was the special teams coordinator, and now they've moved Larry Porter over there, and he has a lot of experience as a coordinator, so maybe that improves. But I wonder what. I wonder how the offense is going to improve with the same coaches, but you have a brand new quarterback.
I think the offense takes a step back next year. New quarterback. I mean, Sam Howell is a once in 20-year quarterback.
Yeah.
So no Sam Howell. You're going to have either Drake May or Jacoby Criswell, you losing your three best offensive linemen, you know, the defense, offensive linemen, I say offense or defense, offensive linemen weren't great, but you lose your three best, Jordan Tucker, Marcus McKeithen, and Joshua Zudu. I'm trying to remember all these names. So those three guys opted for the draft, and then you lose. That's about it. You know, you add.
You also lose Ty Chandler, who was probably probably the third best offensive weapon.
Yeah,
so you lose two of your three top offensive weapons. Josh Downs, the one coming back,
and you add two good running backs in George Pettaway and Amari Hampton and Andre Green. So I think skill position wise, it'll be okay, but a new rookie quarterback who hasn't started, hasn't played at all, or hasn't played much. And then you're getting a whole new offensive line. I mean, linemen we haven't seen play. Caden Baker, you know, I would think Ed Montillis could start. William Barnes, you got to find a center, maybe Brian Anderson or Corian Johnson or even a grad transfer. We got a grad transfer from Miami, Corey Gaynor, you know, looking at a Harvard grad transfer as well. So a lot of different moving pieces. Losing Javon DeWitt, does that affect recruiting at all?
Not many recruits mentioned it. It was funny because actually, what was the one I talked to recently? We're going to talk about the Desmond Umalulu, if I'm pronouncing his last name. He actually mentioned DeWitt, and that kind of surprised me a little bit because not many recruits prior to him mentioned DeWitt to me. Not that he wasn't doing what he's supposed to. I think some of it was some of this stuff is like, where are you located at? And you know, he has South Florida, and North Carolina wasn't going to recruit South Florida. He also had like an awful area of North Carolina. So I mean, it's just difficult, and he didn't have a very good area in I think he has some of Virginia too. So it's difficult when you don't have players in those areas. But he did some specialist recruiting, but UNC hadn't signed a specialist during his tenure. And the edge rusher stuff, he was involved with some of those guys. But really, you know, Bateman or the area recruiter usually would handle the majority of those recruitments.
Yeah, he is was designated to Malachi Hamrick as a primary on Bo Atkinson and the primary on Bryson Jennings. All right, so you lose Javon DeWitt, and Larry Porter is named the special teams coach now. So Larry Porter will have running backs and special teams. And you bring in Gene Chizik and Charlton Warren, who coached at UNC for 2 years in 2015 and 16, were brought in after the 2014 season, kind of rescue UNC's defense. I covered recruiting when these guys were around. You covered recruiting. I wasn't with Inside Carolina yet. We both covered recruiting with Gene Chizik and Charlton Warren. I covered the team. Let's get your opinion on what those guys bring from a recruiting perspective.
So yeah, I broke a lot of this down in a scoop, not this past week, but the week prior. And at the time that Chizik was here the first time around, you know this, you know, his life situation was way different. You know, his son was in high school, and so he wasn't as active. As I mentioned earlier, coordinators aren't typically your best recruiters, and so he wasn't as active as even a typical recruiter, a typical coordinator was, just because he was always going back home to spend time with his family, which is completely understandable. From a recruiting standpoint, the biggest impact is Warren, who his first time around North Carolina was an absolute workhorse. You know, I broke down, I think over a third of his first, when he, the first, his first class that he was a part of at North Carolina, he was the primary recruiter on a third of UNC signees. He also signed, you know, he signed Tamon Fox, was the top signee in that class. And he was the primary recruiter for him. He also had a bunch of signees in the following class before he departed for Tennessee. So, I mean, he's an absolute stud. And I think the best way to look at this, for at least from a recruiting standpoint, probably from a football standpoint, is the trade of Bateman / DeWitt for Chizik / Warren. And it probably equals out from a recruiting standpoint, just because Warren is such a great recruiter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at so he left UNC for Tennessee, and then I think he was at Tennessee for 1 year before going to Florida, and he was at Georgia, and then Indiana is the defensive coordinator. But he spent, I think, 4 or 5 years in the SEC East. And you're looking at, you know, he's landing 4 stars left and right.
Yeah.
Obviously, recruiting to Florida and Georgia, and Georgia's getting those type of players. And it's, you know, obviously a
– Well, let me – so one of the things I pointed out in my scoop was that he, in three consecutive classes, he signed at least one top 100 prospect. And he actually signed two in one of those classes. And that's insane to do for one single person to do consecutively. I mean, that just – because, I mean – there is luck involved. So yes, you can have a guy who signs a top 100 guy and just purely luck. But when you're doing it three consecutive years and signed four within 3 years, that's not luck. That's ability.
Yeah, for sure. The UNC guys he recruited, just for your reference, CJ Cotman, remember that? Never really amounted to nothing, amounted to anything. Trey Shaw, another transfer. Tamon Fox, obviously multi-year starter at UNC. Zach Gill transferred. Patrice Rene started and played a good deal before transferring to Rutgers. Miles Dorn was a 2 or 3 year starter for UNC. I think he's on the NFL. In the NFL as a practice player. KJ Sayles, mayor of Tampa Bay, who ended up transferring but played some at UNC. No fly zone. Miles Wolfork, Malik Robinson. God, Malik Robinson, remember him?
Yeah.
He's funny looking back at these recruitments. Greg Ross, Dominique Ross, you know, some good players there. So, yeah, I mean, and Nolan DeFranco, your boy Nolan DeFranco.
My boy. that was actually one that Chizik and Warren actually teamed up on.
There you go. Nolan DeFranco special. I don't think a guy ever saw the field. He transferred to a strange school, I think. Pull up his profile. Look, Charles and Warren is a great personality. He's, you know, he has a military background that kind of comes off a little bit. He's personable. He's direct. He's straight. He's a disciplinarian as a coach. He sets high expectations for his players. He's likable. He's charismatic. I mean, he checks all the boxes when you, what you want out of a recruiter. So that is definitely a win. And I think he's a great defensive backs coach too.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to, so for those wondering, I've gotten a lot of questions on Twitter and people don't seem to get it. I wrote an article about this and asked and Warren was asked this also in his press conference. He is going to be coaching all of the secondary. He is the secondary coach, and then underneath him is going to be Dre Bly, who is only working with the cornerbacks. I imagine they're gonna be in the same room, same meeting room a lot, and will only break apart for like particular drills, you know, very specific cornerback drills and safety drills. But he is not just a safeties coach. He is coaching the defensive backs and secondary as a whole, which includes corners and safeties and nickelbacks. And he will have a large role in as being a co-defensive coordinator, working with Chizik to come to game plan, to scheme, to come up with practice plans, all that good stuff. I mean, he is legitimately the co-defensive coordinator alongside Chizik. Chizik will be calling the plays, though. Chizik as a recruiter, you know, we talked about it briefly, but, you know, he adds kind of another type of Mac Brown CEO type recruiter. Yeah. You know, he comes in, he has 2 national championship rings. He's older, he's experienced. You know, he's very charismatic and commands respect, and that can be very influential on players. And he's a great coordinator. He's a proven coordinator who I think will raise the floor of UNC's defense. You know, he's the defense is going to be better next year, I believe, because it's just going to get to a level. You know, he's going to fix some things, hopefully work on the communication issues between the coaching staff, and just raise the floor of the defense. You know, it's not going to be some crazy, crazy good defense, but it'll be conservative. The bend, no break thing. Go back and listen to Shaquille Rashad's quotes on Taylor Vipulis's podcast. I transcribed a lot of that as well. So he spoke very highly of how Chizik completely came in and completely changed how the defense worked and just raises the standard expectations.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think just one point you brought up a couple minutes ago about the secondary, I think what needs to be mentioned is that in football nowadays, you don't have 4 DBs on the field. You typically have 5 or more. And so it is good to have, you know, linebacker, you're sometimes only having 1 for a good portion of the game. So it's good to have multiple coaches kind of coaching that position to get a lot done in practice. But yeah, I mean, from the defense standpoint, before Chizik came last time, I did a lot of reading up on him. I read his book. I read some of the clinics that he did, and he's really big on making things as simple as possible, because then it makes it easier for people to react. So they're not thinking when they're playing. And maybe that's something that this defense needs, is just to simplify things so that they can just do. And a lot of those situations, I mean, we could break down every single mistake that has been made this past season. And some of them we can look at and say, was this guy looking at the wrong spot or thinking too much, or maybe he just overthought things and was in the wrong. I mean, that is a legitimate, I guess, problem that can happen. And maybe that ends up, you know, helping UNC this coming season in the defense.
Scheme wise, how that affects recruiting. Chizik runs a 4-3 front, but usually now, like you said, it's usually 4-2-5 with a nickelback. So five defensive backs, two safeties, two corners, a nickelback, two kind of interior linebackers. And then the big change for UNC is going to be, instead of having three down linemen, they're going to have four down linemen with two traditional defensive ends. We've gone over this before, but usually it's, you know, what, a 6'4" to a 6'6" guy, about 260 to 280 as one defensive end, and then maybe a guy that's a little bit slider that can rush the passer. How does that change recruiting for UNC, given how they've gone after this very particular type of outside linebacker, and the roster is kind of loaded with these kind of lighter outside linebackers who can cover in a 3-4 base? What changes for UNC there?
So I think the one thing is that, yes, runs a 4-3, but that's not a defense that you can really run purely right now. So there's going to be some changes. So I'm really curious. Hopefully they open up practice during the spring so we can kind of get an idea of just how, you know, what the defense actually looks like. But to answer your question, you're going to, you know, him and the other defensive coaches are going to take a lot of those quote unquote outside rush outside linebackers and decide, is this guy a 4-3 outside linebacker, or is this guy a hand in the dirt defensive end? So you're going to see some of that. And so it might be come down to just, can the guy add the weight to play defensive end? It could come down to, is this guy more of a space guy? We want him in space. Is this guy more of a pure rusher? Is this guy strong enough? Can this guy stand up against the run? All those questions are going to help determine just where guys go. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see some guys start at one position and then move to the other one, and maybe even a couple times, just to kind of see where they exactly fit. What I'm curious is like, is there some sort of wrinkle in there where he has some sort of a hybrid position? I have no like reason to think that that's the case, other than the fact that I feel like he's going to make some changes to his scheme. And I'm wondering if maybe that's one of them, or if he just goes with what you mentioned, the 4-2-5. But yeah. So, I mean, go back to your question. I think it's just a matter of seeing where those guys fit, outside linebacker or defensive end.
Yeah, I think you look at the roster, I think a guy like Bo Atkinson and Bryson Jennings are going to be that pure rush, hand in the dirt defensive end.
Yeah.
They have the size, the length, the height. But guys like Malachi Americk, who are a little bit lighter, you know, they might be a tweener right now. Gabe Stevens might be a tweener. You already saw Travion Stevenson transfer or into the transfer portal. I think you might see some people transfer. That's the nature of coaching changes.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't have any info on that, but don't be surprised if some more players enter the transfer portal. But interesting to see as I pull up the roster, trying to figure out.
Yeah, I'm looking at this like Kamen Rucker, like,
yeah,
you would think outside linebacker, but man, you know, his best thing is coming off the edge. So
yeah,
what do you do in that situation? Desmond Evans, obviously, I think he's a defensive end. You know,
he'll have less confusion now. You know, Desmond Evans won't be covering, you know, won't be dropping in coverage. Same with Kamen Rucker. They're gonna be pure hand of the dirt pass rushers. But like you mentioned, you know, there's some stuff that might change in Gene Chizik's scheme. You know, the game has changed since he last coached, and definitely since he last coached at Auburn. And so you need more speed on the field. You need more linebackers who can cover and more defensive backs. So he's an adaptive scheme. He's not an idiot. So we'll definitely have to see how that changes. Okay, anything else on those topics the addition of Chizik and Warren, Bateman and DeWitt. Anything else there?
I think we covered it all.
Okay, good. We're going to talk about Johnny T-shirt right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about losing Billy High, UNC's general manager, and we're going to talk about UNC's junior day recruits in the 2023 class and any transfer news. So stay tuned for that. First, Johnny T-shirt, johnnytshirt.com. Pull up the website. You got tons of shirts now. You got basketball shirts with specific players. You have Leaky Black, RJ Davis, Armando Bacot, Dawson Garcia T-shirts. So they're getting some NIL stuff, it looks like, off of that. Of course, sweatshirts, hats. I did most of my shopping for my nieces and nephews at Johnny T-shirt. I walked in the store and bought it. Great selection of sweatshirts. Great selection of toys and trinkets. And
I bought, my daughter asked for, she wanted some college shirts. So mm-hmm. This is a true story. I'm not making this up. We drove to Chapel Hill, my wife and I, we went and had lunch, went to Johnny T-shirt and picked out a couple of UNC shirts for my daughter.
Where did you eat lunch?
We ate lunch at, we tried to go top of the hill, but it was actually closed. Where did we go to lunch at? I can't remember where we went.
Jesus. Okay.
I remember the whole plan was top of the hill, but this was right before Christmas and they were under construction.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, the students are gone. Yeah. So Johnny T-shirt, johnnytshirt.com. I used the promo code. I walked in there, got the discount. I bought like a basketball thing for my nephew. I could put on the back of the door. I brought a UNC scrunchie for my niece.
For you.
And a matching game for her. So you got all these things. Get all your UNC stuff at Johnny T-shirt and johnnytshirt.com. And remember, all Inside Carolina subscribers get 10% off with the promo code found on both the premium message boards. All right, get some national ads in. We'll be right back to talk more UNC football recruiting and news related to UNC football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. Welcome back to The Scoop. A lot of topics, a lot of good talk about Chizik and Warren and Bateman and DeWitt. We're now getting some more news, kind of fly by some stuff here. So UNC, Billy High, UNC's general manager, as I said in the intro, has left to take a similar job at Tennessee. Don, tell us what Billy High did at UNC.
I mean, like everything. So he was, I mean, he really, you mentioned right-hand man for Mac, and that was a big part of it. If you were around the program, it's been any time around the program, you would typically see Billy High around Mac Brown, and Mac Brown would constantly be consulting him for different things. Billy High oversaw basically everything. And I think, you know, if you try to sum it up, he was just involved with the construction of the roster, whatever that may entail, which includes the transfer portal, which includes the recruiting efforts and everything. So he was a major part in the strategy, the game plan. You know, there's a lot of, we've talked about just the, you know, when do you have a guy on, you know, host him for an official visit? Do you have him the first weekend, the last weekend, or what do you do? You know, Billy High was directly involved in those sort of decisions. And so so his fingerprints are all over these past few classes that North Carolina has signed. He's a major part of what UNC has done recruiting wise.
Yeah, and he's leadership role in terms of designing the plan for how these recruiting days work, how the camps work, UNC's strategy for recruiting different classes, for where the coaches go, how they plan logistics. I mean, he's in charge of all that in terms of, all right, this coach goes here, this coach goes there. And then, of course, the transfer portal was a big part of his. And, of course, the assistants have a role in all this as well. So, you know, a lot of that leadership is still in place with the coaching staff. But Billy High is a massive loss just in terms of they got to find somebody who can do all that and do it well. Billy High was really good at his job, very organized. You talked about him in your scoop, a lot of stuff we're talking about now. And UNC also lost another staffer in Steven
Rozek.
Rozek. So they're losing a lot of their kind of the bigger names in their behind the scenes recruiting roster management staff.
I think the thing with Ruzick, I feel like if Ruzick doesn't leave for Auburn, he probably slides into Billy High's job. I mean, he obviously is qualified because he's going to basically do Billy High's job at Auburn. So, you know, an SEC school that recruits at the highest level. So obviously he's qualified. So that's why that's pretty significant. And so, so you don't even have a guy, I don't think, in that office that can slide in. You're going to have to go probably outside to get someone.
Yeah, and it's a big time for recruiting now. A lot of junior days, you're kind of establishing and laying the foundation for your 2023 class. So as we speak, Mac Brown's probably, you know, interviewing and trying to figure out who he's going to bring in for multiple roles along the recruiting staff. That is an important note to speak about. Any news there in terms of where they go or any idea?
No,
of
I mean, it's
how's
just
that process work? Do you find someone in another school, bring someone from like a power, group of five school or from another program? How's that work, you think?
So it's still such a new position. Within the last 10 years, maybe even more than that, you know, it has become more of an important position. Really colleges, at least at the Power Five level, have basically mimicked NFL roster, NFL, I guess, staffs as far as, Billy's title was general manager. And yeah. So, I mean, NFL teams have had general managers forever. So, but because it's still kind of new, it's still a lot harder to find information. Just to kind of look at how Mac Brown found Billy High, he initially wanted to hire Patrick, I think it's pronounced Sudis, who's at Georgia Tech. And he actually worked with Mac Brown at Texas. Sudis is very comfortable in Atlanta because he's from Atlanta. Obviously his family there. And that sort of thing, same thing that why Billy left, UNC to go to Tennessee. And so, but anyway, so Sudis was like, hey, I'm cool in Atlanta. But while I was at Auburn, I worked with this guy, Billy High. I think he's an up and comer. He's going to do great things. And so Mac obviously interviewed, liked him, hired him, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I would suspect that Mac reaches out to people and probably even Billy High to say, who are you most impressed with, who you feel like could do this job? And that's probably where he's going to get his list of candidates.
Great. And Billy High, I did a podcast with him. So if you want to figure out kind of what he does, go back and listen to that podcast. I linked it on my Twitter back when that news broke, which I think was Saturday. Check out that podcast. And then another general manager that we know, who has been a guest on this show. Do you know who?
Who?
Barton Simmons.
Oh, yeah.
A friend of the Scoop podcast. Barton Simmons is the general manager at Vanderbilt after leaving the media and leaving the scouting recruiting department at 24/7 Sports to take the same role that kind of Billy does at UNC and now Tennessee. He does it at Vanderbilt. So we know both Power Five schools in Tennessee. We know the general managers personally.
Yes, we've interviewed them.
There we go. Yeah. All right, moving on. Junior Day. Let us know, Don, how the junior day went, what names we should know, and what these days are like, because they coincide with home basketball games, and it's a chance to kind of get this class going for not only 2023, but also 2024 and so on. I guess just 2023, right? Junior Day?
Yeah, there was 24s there.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Jaden Davis, 2024 quarterback that UNC has offered, he was there. But yeah, the majority of the guys there are 2023s. Although one of their transfer targets, I guess he wasn't part of the junior day stuff, but he went to the basketball game. He was on an official visit. That's Spencer Rowland that I'm talking about. But it wasn't like a large group, but there were definitely some offered guys there, which is significant, such as Sullivan Absher, who's an in-state offensive lineman that I think he's not ranked right now, but I think he's going to be ranked pretty highly once he is ranked. Tony Rojas, another guy who's not ranked, but UNC's offered, and I think he'll be ranked pretty highly. He's from a linebacker from Virginia. We ran an update from his visit today. We're recording on Wednesday. Also had an update on Desmond Umazulu, who's a defensive end from Maryland, four-star guy. Ran an update on him on Monday. Rico Walker, 4-star in-state edge rusher guy. He, I talked to him a little bit. We'll have an update on with him, in I guess within the week. So he was there. So it was a good group of guys, not very large, but UNC's junior days, UNC's junior days that coincide with a basketball game typically aren't very large, and that's because the football team does not receive unlimited tickets to the basketball game. So they have to be pretty selective on who they invite. And so UNC will have another junior day. The 29th, is that the NC State basketball game?
Yeah, and I've seen some stuff about that. So that is, I'm not sure if it's NC State, but that's the next one.
That would probably be the probably be a little bit larger, but it's not going to be a huge junior day size-wise just because of you know, it, those guys are going to be going to the basketball game and tickets are limited.
Yes. So what we talk about this a little bit off air about how the class is going to go in 2023. And, you know, you're kind of seeing signs of how it's going to go and who they have momentum with. Can you speak to kind of what you think so far, given the intel you've received about the 2023 class and what you can say about it?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time, I think, for the staff to get rolling with some of these guys, you know, with the season that they just had last year. And then with the changes, you know, a lot of these defensive recruits that UNC has offered have really good relationships with Jay Bateman. Rico Walker actually mentioned that to me. I didn't even know Rico Walker had that close relationship with Bateman, but he mentioned he did. And there's a couple of other guys, Chris Peel, Chris Culliver, Grant Tucker, really close with Bateman. So obviously you have to reestablish relationships with either Warren or Chizik or whoever it may be. And that's going to take a little bit of time. You know, but I think we'll know a lot more after we come out of this month, after we, you know, see who comes to that last junior day, because the crazy thing about the NCAA recruiting calendar is that the whole month of February is a dead period. So no visits during that time. And so you're going to have a better idea of where you stand with a lot of these recruits by that point, and then kind of zero in a little bit better and increase efforts if you must in the months of March, April, and May.
Okay. And UNC has one commitment right now.
Mm-hmm. Quarterback, Tad Hudson.
So they're kind of done with the quarterbacks in this class. And so it's kind of wide open, and that's why the next podcast we're going to record, we'll get into the 2023 class more extensively. I'm going to start learning these names, who the main targets are, who the realistic targets are, needs, wants, and kind of where UNC stands with a lot of those. So that'll be the next Scoop podcast, and that also will align with the top five of your top five targets for the 2023 class. For those UNC football recruiting junkies, you should kind of already be in on this class and know the big names that UNC is going after. How is the class in the state of North Carolina right now? How, I know like last year wasn't as talented, but 21 was super talented. How would you rank this one, this class?
So it's going to be better than last class for sure. As of right now, it's not super deep. There are, my screens are going all crazy. I'd say top 15 are all really good players. You don't have like a Travis Shaw, but you have a lot of really good players that, you know, like KJ Sampson and Noah Rogers are definitely top 100 players in my opinion, top 100 players in the nation in my opinion. But I don't see the depth that I've seen in prior classes. So it's not going to come anywhere close to the historic, what was that, the 2021 class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Good stuff there. All right. So junior day 2023 class. Let's get into any transfer news. UNC, like you mentioned, had a visit this weekend from Spencer Rowland at Harvard. Since the time when we last recorded, UNC's added some transfers. They added Corey Gaynor, center from Florida, and Noah Taylor, a outside linebacker, edge rusher from Virginia. Can you speak to those two guys and what you know about those recruitments and how that went and how you see them fitting in at UNC?
Yeah. So prior to the dead period, those two plus, got the name, the DB, from transfer. Well, transfer. He was a freshman All-American at Kansas, transferred to South Carolina, then ended up leaving South Carolina, Cameron Purdy. Those three officially visited the weekend prior to the dead period. They moved on. UNC moved on from Purdy, but then pushed forward with Taylor and with Gaynor, and obviously scored their commitments. And those guys have already enrolled at North Carolina. You know, Gaynor is going to be a guy who's going to compete immediately for playing time at center. You know, I don't even know what weekly scoop it was. One of the more recent, well, actually the weekly scoop after he committed kind of broke down his game, got some thoughts from our Miami beat writer on Gaynor. And then also, you know, went through some of his grades on Pro Football Focus and compared it to North Carolina's returning centers. And that gives you a good idea of just, you know, what North Carolina is getting. I kind of did the same thing with Noah Taylor, and also talked to the UVA beat writer for 24/7 Sports. You know, he fits better in Bateman's system. You know, we talked about earlier about how guys are going to have to either move to defensive end or outside linebacker. He's going to be one of those guys we're going to have to figure out. Do you bulk him up and put him at defensive end, or do you stand him up and leave him at outside linebacker? So he kind of fits into that sort of role. The good news is, so he played, you know, odd front, you know, stand up defensive end sort of role at UVA. But he actually dropped into coverage a lot more than what Bateman did with his outside linebackers. So he probably, if I had to, you know, handicap this, the better odds would definitely be on him kind of playing that outside linebacker role, just because of his experience on you know, the college level at an ACC school, you know, dropping into coverage.
Okay. And are there any other transfer targets that we need to know of? Spencer Rowland, he'll be a grad transfer. He's graduating from Harvard in May, I think I read. So he'll be looking to roll at his school in June and then play one more year for the 2022 season. UNC needs depth. So is he a center or is he?
No. I think he played tackle at Harvard.
Okay.
He's a little bit on the lighter side, at least for, you know, a power five level lineman. So, yeah. Could he have gained weight since Harvard weighed him last? Maybe their measurables are outdated. Yeah, that's certainly possible.
So he could play tackle or guard, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume tackle. I'll have to talk to him. He's not big on doing interviews. So it's, you know, I get a couple questions in with him and so I'll have to check in him with on that. But the other name to mention is Tyler Steen, who actually is currently, well, I guess not currently. He played the past season. We mentioned Barton Simmons. He played at his school, you know, Vanderbilt. So he was started 36 games at Vanderbilt over three seasons.
Position?
He's offensive lineman. I don't know if he was I'd have to look into to see what position exactly he played, but he's offensive lineman. Obviously North Carolina is looking for some, experienced depth along the offensive line with how much they've targeted that position in the transfer portal. But the problem with him with a lot of these guys is that he has a lot of suitors, and North Carolina is kind of just trying to position themselves properly to score an official visit, which is key. You know, we kind of saw it with the Antoine Wells kid who North Carolina offered, a wide receiver, played at James Madison. And was it James Madison? I think it was James Madison. Mm-hmm. It was a matter of South Carolina was able to get him to officially visit that lone weekend he truly had. He scheduled an official visit in North Carolina, but then realized, I just don't have time to take this official visit and enroll in the spring semester at a college. So he had to basically just kind of stick with the school that he officially visited. And so a lot of these things is just, you know, beating people to the punch and making sure that you get these visits. You're operating within a small window. Your high school recruiting is a multi-year process where you're establishing relationships. This is the complete opposite. You have to establish a relationship really, really quickly because you're dealing with a very small window.
Okay. A lot of information there. So two offensive linemen targets still kind of out there. Spencer Rowland from Harvard and Tyler Steen, offensive lineman out of Vanderbilt. Okay. I think that's it, Don. Anything else? We've covered a lot of ground. Spent a lot of time on Chizik and Warren, Billy High. And so we'll wait news on what UNC does to replace Billy High. And of course, we'll track Chizik and Warren's recruitment, recruiting as you know January turns into February. Anything else, Don?
No, I think we covered a lot. You know, there's a lot that we had to cover since our last recording. So
yeah,
we probably missed something. And whatever it is, I don't know what it is.
All right. Next podcast will be a complete breakdown of UNC's top targets in 2022 class. Get your top five into Don on Twitter over Inside Carolina direct messaging or on email, don@insidecarolina.com. That's your top five targets, wants, needs in the 2023 class. Go through it and pick who you really want that's realistic. All right, Don, that's it for us. Appreciate you listening. Shout out to Johnny T-shirt. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to Inside Carolina Podcast. Subscribe to Inside Carolina YouTube. We appreciate you listening.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.